Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Diva Days Are Lives and Friends. Tonight we'll be discussing the last week of the show. As always, our shows are live and call in, so please call in and talk to us at 914-338-1239, and you can use Skype. Also, you can follow me on Twitter every day at Diva Abdul, and follow us on our blog. That's divadaysarelives.blogspot.com. And you could also follow us here on Blog Talk Radio. And on our profile page, there's a link to everything, including our Facebook pages. And tonight we have Anna.
Hello.
And we have Marianne.
Hello.
Hello. And on Twitter right now, if you want a good time, go follow at Bob Hapka. That's at B-O-B-H-A-P-K-A. He's our Twitter buddy who won't call into the show for some reason.
He's shy.
He's scared. He's scared of us.
He's scared.
That's what it is.
Who'd you scare him?
You'd think Amy could get him to do that. Or maybe Amy could call in and she could spill all the dirt on Bob. That would be fun. Especially since he was giving me a hard time on Twitter tonight, apparently. I guess some people just can't handle Bobby. I don't know what it is.
Yeah, it's odd when Bob's telling other people to behave. That doesn't make much sense, really. That's kind of the pot calling it a kettle black.
Yeah. You go,
just
Carrie.
A little bit.
Right.
I like picking on Bob.
But we love Bob, but yeah. He's high maintenance.
I see you in the chat room, Anna. There you go. Yeah, don't forget to join us in our chat room, too, and talk to the other chicks. Yeah, so what happened with Kate this week, Anna?
Well, I have to think back to Monday and Tuesday because she wasn't on the rest of the week. I got a little spoiled with Kate week the week before, so
yeah.
Not that I'm bitter. But she is on next week, I think, 3 episodes. So.
Oh, cool.
But, let's see. As I recall, she was just about to have lunch or coffee or something with Ian at Common Grounds, and they overheard Cameron and Celeste talking about Lexi's untimely demise, pending demise. And so she takes off, unfortunately leaves Ian in the dust, and takes off for Stefano. And Stefano doesn't want to hear it. She shows up and he doesn't want to even talk to her. But she manages to get it out that Lexi's seriously, dying or ill or whatever. And even then he's not too happy with her. But then she gets a phone call from Lexi and kind of validates that she wants to meet with him. And so he realizes it's serious. And so Kate, he still tries to boot her out, and he goes heading for the door. And it was kind of cute because as he goes, he's telling her to leave, and he's getting ready to go leave, to go get in the car to go to the hospital. She says, "I love Lexi, too." And he, melted a little bit, and he, okay. And so, he basically let her go with him. And then in the hospital, there were some rather interesting exchanges because it was all happening outside of Beau's hospital room. And he's coming to after being knocked out for vacation for 2 weeks or something. So Beau and Hope and Don and Marlena are in Bo's room, and I guess they come out just as all the drama's unfolding with Lexi and Stefano and everything. And at one point, John's going after Stefano, and Kate intercedes and says, Lexi's dying, leave him alone, or something like that, So then, of course, you see the reaction. I loved it because you saw the reaction of all the people, realizing that Lexi's dying. And so that was cool. I mean, Hope's expression especially was because you just realize how much a part of Salem Lexi is. And Carrie, I'm sure you'll want to expand on that. But, that was nice. And, you know, she tried to stick around for Stefano. Trying to think what else happened over there. She didn't really, he didn't really want to be around her, but, you know, it was just nice that she thought of him. You know, even though I'm a Kate Meehan fan, I love Stefano and Kate too. And it was nice to see their interaction, and sad because they were such a good pairing and so fun to watch. But it's nice to see that they still care about each other, but it's just hard because, you know, he hates her basically right now. So. Let's see. Trying to think what else happened. I'm trying to think what happened on Tuesday because weren't there some Lucas scenes? Does anybody remember? I'm drawing a blank right now.
With Kate, did you mean? With Lucas?
Yeah,
Was there Kate Lucas scene?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember on Tuesday what happened. I'm drawing a blank. Anyway,
yeah, sometimes I watch
know.
The whole week and I watch a couple shows at once and it's like I get everything confused.
Yeah.
You know, because I watch it on tape and
Kind
of watch two shows in one day.
I can't remember. It seemed like they were talking about business some more and stuff about, was that the day they were at, wasn't that
well,
the
he,
day that, oh, this, yeah, I get
well,
my
she wanted, she wanted
time,
Lucas to join
about,
her.
That's right. They were.
Madison, that world.
Yeah, didn't they, was this the week that they did Over My Dead Body? Madison's like, Over My Dead Body, is she going to work with me? And I was like, whatever it takes, Madison. You know, was that this week?
I can't remember now.
Was that the weekend before?
It might have been Monday.
That's right. That was Monday, and then Tuesday. That's right. Tuesday was the day that the hospital stuff went down. That's right. I got my days confused.
Because
Ian brought in her favorite designer from Paris, who is going to give her a whole new wardrobe and get her set up again. Since he reminded her that Stefano left her so coldly without a thing, which he's very clever. I don't know what's up his sleeve, but he's very clever. She said something like, "You sure know a way to a girl's heart and or a woman's heart." And a lot of us Keen fans enjoyed when he came up behind her and kind of nuzzled up against her ear. That was nice. You know, we're looking for anything. We enjoy any interaction like that. So that was on our radar. So basically Ian's trying to help her out, get back on her feet. And, let's see. Oh, and then I think that was at one point Madison, when he was like, yeah, you're going to be working with, I'm going to make Madison and Kate co-CEOs. And Madison's like, Over My Dead Body. And, you know, like I said, I tweeted whatever it takes, Madison, because, anyway. So they're setting up the drama for Kate and Madison to have to work together to take down Sammy. And Ian is apparently enjoying the fact that these two are going to be working together. I don't know. That's a little weird to me. But, you know, he's obviously got some plans up his sleeve. So Mr. Ian is rather mysterious. So anyway, and also Kate wanted Lucas to work for Titan or Mad World along with them. And Ian was, I believe he was fine with that, but Lucas wasn't. And he went running over to Sammy's to warn her that Kate was going to come after her. So now Lucas supposedly is going to go work with Sammy. And in the meantime, while we're on that subject, Autumn broke up with him over the phone. So I was really kind of hoping, maybe they still will, but I really kind of wanted them to bring a kick-ass Autumn on the show, and nobody ever could get her name right, you know, or something like that. Still, like, the running gag continues. But she broke up with him over the phone while he was at Sammy's place. And, of course, Sammy was eavesdropping in the other room, and, of course, when he comes out, she's already run back over to the counter where she was standing with her drink, and he's like, I know you were listening. You know, I love that Gloomy, you know, I love that they know each other so well, but it's like, I couldn't hear everything. That was cute. So they're going to work together, and so we've got classic Gloomy versus Kate, it looks like, getting lined up here, and so we'll see. And I think that was about it with Kate this week. So, more stuff next week, for sure.
I mean, that's a storyline plot, but I don't get why Lucas is siding with Sammy. But she's just as nasty about Kate as Kate is about Sammy. It's not like one of them is being more mature than the other. And besides that,
right.
Kenneth Wilhelmina is Billy and Kate's business. It's not Sammy. Sammy just walked in on there. So I don't understand why Lucas is siding with her.
But his brother, his mother and his sister, you think.
Yeah, true.
Maybe he does still have the feelings for Sammy. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
If that's supposed to be
the point. He's going to be having some feelings next week for her, for sure.
I saw that kiss. I saw the kiss, at the end on Friday.
Oh, that's right. See, and I missed some of that episode.
That was family day at the Horton, in the Horton Square, Town Square. Will and Allie. And I just love how Will is still with Sammy. That's a lot. He's funny.
Oh, he was snarky as hell with her on Friday.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I need to go back and watch that because I only got to see part of that show, that episode.
And he still hasn't come out to either one of them yet. That still hasn't happened.
Yeah, they're really dragging it on out. Well, but next week's Sweeps Month, right? That being Sweeps next week.
Oh, that's right, May. Yeah.
Yeah, maybe it'll finally happen then. So, that's dragging out. I mean, I don't understand why Lily jumping into bed so quickly. That's really bizarre, and spoilers have it like the week after she's pursuing feelings for EJ. So it's...
What?
Yeah.
Oh, the ping-pong continues, huh?
Yeah, oh my God. I can't stand the ping-ponging. It's so bad.
Although, there was a time when I was... so overly ready for that to be done, and then once they went on to Chloe and Lucas and all that garbage, and I hated all that, and then Lucas left, I have to admit, I'm kind of enjoying the Lucas and Sammy and EJ stuff again, although, she shouldn't be sleeping with him, going back and forth and all that stuff, but I have to admit, I guess because I just like Lumi and I like Jammy, I'm one of those weird people that likes them both. And so I find both of them entertaining, So I guess I just, I don't mind it that much this time, at least so far. Now, if it drags on for several months where they keep going back and forth, I don't know. I'm not sure I can deal with that. But, it's certainly better than listening to EJ and Nicole rehash the same dialogue over and over and over again. I actually had a flashback to Rubber Baby Belly Bumper this week because for a year that lady was pregnant with what turned out to be a premature infant, with this rubber baby, and they kept rehashing the dialogue over and over, and I thought, I'm having flashbacks to that right now.
Yeah. I just don't get it. You'll have, 45 minutes of an episode where it just looks like each Joel is getting back together. And Ariane and James are doing such a great job acting. And you see the chemistry there and how sad they are, really, that their marriage has fallen apart. And then someone says something, and then they're pissed at each other. And they're broken up again. It's like, I don't know, maybe the writers just don't know where the hell any of this is going because I can't figure it out. And I'm not shipping for any couple either. Yeah, I mean, I like you, Jolie. Yeah. I like Lumi. Mm-hmm. I like you, Jammy. I didn't like
that's
Faith.
The thing. There's chemistry with so many of them. I don't know, really who I want because I like Jammy and I like Jolie. I like Lucas and Sammy, but it is still more like brother sister to me. I don't know, but they still they have a nice chemistry. I still see more of that, more of a friendship relationship. But EJ and Sammy is just like playing passion
too,
I don't know. And EJ and Nicole, I do really like together. So I don't know.
Yeah, it's like chemistry versus dysfunction. I mean, I like you, Julie. I think they have the best chemistry. They look good together. But she's tall and thin, and he's tall and thin, and they look good together. But they've done so much shit to each other. And the same thing with EJ and Sammy. Great chemistry, but she shot him in the head, and he sent a lookalike to rape her. So and he raped her too, so that's crazy. And Safe, they're actually a functional couple, but now he's after her sister, so that's pretty creepy.
Yeah,
Lumi has a lot of stuff. I mean, Sammy accused Lucas of abusing Will when he never did, and that there's some trauma
well, they
with
all
too.
Have baggage in history.
Yeah. But, yeah, I think Lumi and Sade probably have the least amount of baggage. But the thing is, too, Sammy and Lucas always had that great friendship, and they still have the chemistry. You know, I saw the chemistry the first episode he was back. I thought they would look great together. And they do have a functional friendship.
Oh, they do. Yeah, yeah.
But, you know, it kind
and
of
there's always Rafe and Nicole.
Oh,
back to that.
See, I don't see any chemistry with them at all.
See, I like them together. I like them together.
Yeah, I actually like them together better than Rafe and Rafe and Carrie.
Yes.
I don't get the Rafe and Carrie at all.
Oh, yeah.
Or
I prefer
Rafe and Sammy over Rafe and Carrie. I don't see the Rafe and Carrie at all. I don't know.
I did at the time when they were working together, but now I don't. I don't see what the big draw is.
I don't get Rafe and anybody. So,
but Rafe and Nicole so far has been the most palatable thing that I found most palatable. I don't know. Not that I see that as a long-term thing, but I kind of like their friendship, and I can see that they could have chemistry. I mean, if we're actually talking about Rafe in any kind of romantic way, I mean, that's I could see that because they have that connection, but I don't think it's going to end up panning out. But, you never know.
That's kind of disappointing with Nicole, but she starts getting feelings for him just because she had a dream about him while she was sedated. I don't think that. I mean, I've had dreams about Jim Carrey. It doesn't mean I'm interested in Jim Carrey. He just randomly popped up in one of my dreams. So it's just, I don't know.
Maybe sharing a little bit too much.
Yeah, I'm sorry. Forget I said that.
Oversharing.
Yeah.
All right, my bad.
Not Bob Hafka? No dreams about him? No.
No. So my brother is moving to Florida, so Bob needs to watch out because there goes the neighborhood.
Uh-oh.
But, it's such a mess. And Carrie and Ray said, I mean, they just make me vomit because Austin's such a good guy and he loves his wife so much. And actually it makes me mad that Austin keeps putting up with her shit. I think he should have dumped her ass after the kiss, really, and just, you know. Moved on. I mean, I would like Austin and Nicole. They didn't get a chance to reunite because they were almost a couple a few years ago. Carrie and Austin were divorced. I think she might have been still with Mike Corden at that time. And Austin, Nicole, and Sammy were all living together at the old Lumi apartment. And I think Sammy might have been with Austin. And Nicole fell for him. And he left town. Before he left town, he kissed her goodbye. That was as far as Austin and Nicole got. But still, we watch the scenes now. I mean, I know it's with Patrick and it's not with Austin Peck. You don't see anybody talking about how Austin and Nicole used to be very good friends. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of disappointing. And Nicole never tells Rafe, you know, maybe you shouldn't break up their marriage. You know what I mean? Because Austin's only interested in Carrie, and Carrie's only really interested in Austin. Because the only person who really talks bad about Carrie on the show is Sammy. Because as we all know, Carrie pushed Sammy off the slide, and Sammy broke her middle finger. And Carrie denied it, and everybody believed Carrie, not Sammy. And Sammy is still mad about it 30 years later. So we learned about that on Friday.
Yeah,
that
it's always it's always bitch. Everybody else's fault, Sammy. Right?
that was funny. So, but yeah, and it's getting worse with Rafe and Carrie. This week, if anybody doesn't know, is the Safe House week. That got tense a little bit on Twitter. A lot of the actors tweeted pictures during this thing, and basically. Like Boop, John Marlena, and Rafe and Carrie are all in the safe house, which is booby-trapped. And Shane comes back this week, and we love Charles Shaughnessy, and make sure you check out our interview we had with Charles. From the last time he came back, I think it was 2 years ago. Charlie, seriously, is one of the nicest guys I've ever interviewed. And when we were talking to him before the show started, he just acted like we were all best friends, and that really impressed me about Charlie. And he's so down to earth for a guy who's, you know, accomplished so much, being on The Nanny and everything else. And I think I saw he's now on Victorious, too, the teen show on Nickelodeon. He's recurring on Victorious. But, yeah, so Shane comes and tries to rescue everybody. But, of course, as we all know, who do you think will be the big hero this week with the safe house and the bomb?
Rafe.
Yeah. So basically, Sis Rafe got on the show pretty much every male character lost his balls. Because Rafe is the hero. It's not Beau anymore. It's not John
anymore.
It's not Roman anymore. You know? Nope. It's not Austin. Nope. It is Rafe and Rafe only. Rafe's the only one who finds missing people. Rafe's the only, yeah, so far though, Carrie's never asked Rafe where her mom is or what he did to her mom. And so I guess we'll never get that addressed. But, yeah, so we have some shenanigans going on this week with a safe house and a bomb. So, we'll see what happens. It looks kind of cheesy, but, I mean, you know, we'll see.
It could be good. Who knows?
Yawning. Oh, you're yawning already.
Yeah, well, I have to say,
I'm bored already talking.
I enjoyed James Scott this week,
mm-hmm.
with scenes with Lexi, scenes with Stefano. His emotions. I know some people say, oh, he overacts, but I don't know. I think he hits the emotions dead on.
Mm-hmm.
Like just the crying with Lexi, and you can just see the pain in his face. And when he was talking to Stefano, just like you could tell, like this, he was scared. Like he knows something's up. Like he doesn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
Like Stefano's treating him that way, and you can just see the
mm-hmm.
the fear in his eyes. And he just wants Stefano to tell him, and he won't. You know, Stefano still hasn't told him, you know, the real reason why he was doing all that
mm-hmm.
stuff. But I Joe's scenes were, and both of them together were very powerful. I thought they did a good job. So, you know, the De Niro's, I hope they, you know, continue to keep him in De Niro, which, you know, I'm thinking hopefully something will happen. Somebody made a mistake somewhere along the line. So, I'd like to see how they explain, like what they're going to explain. When he said right there at the end there that day, he just said, oh, you know, Steph, you know, he's not my son. How can I tell him that he's not my son? So, I don't know how they're going to explain that.
Yeah, I hope they change that because it's so dumb. But it does come out during Sweeps Month, and Stefano says he doesn't know
mm-hmm.
who the father is.
Oh,
but
okay.
The James Scott was hinting in Silver Digest that papers get altered all the time in Salem. So I guess I think James is hinting maybe, you know, all is not what it seems.
Oh, of course, it's a soap opera. When has it ever been? How many times? I think if an actuarial person came in and, or an actuary came in and did something, it probably takes like 3.9 on average, 3.9 DNA tests to actually come up with the real parents of the child. I mean, so who knows? But who knows?
EJ knows that Nicole baby is his. He knows that for sure. We all know that for sure.
Of course. Well, yeah.
Come on, how stupid are we, you know?
But I kind of love that they're being dorky about it. It's kind of funny. Kind of funny to play that they're playing them on it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he fell for her being not pregnant for how many months when she had a baby, rubber belly, so, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yes. You were talking about James Scott, Marianne. Yeah, I thought James was amazing this week.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I'm not in that train of thought. Some people think he overacts. I think a lot of people are just kind of put off. But he has a little few ticks here and there with his blinking and stuff like that. But that really doesn't bother me too much. Because there's other actors on the show that don't blink and don't emote and their face doesn't move. And to me, I have a problem with that because they're
like
being
Rafe?
Lazy. Yeah, Rafe.
I mean,
yeah,
like EJ shows all the emotion in his face. Also he blinks, but I mean,
Oh, the stuff with Lexi and everything. Oh
my gosh, yeah. The tears just came. I mean, he was just right into the moment and this. I mean, I think he reacted like how you would react if you heard your sister was dying.
Yeah, your only sister that you're aware of, especially, I don't know why it hasn't been mentioned, but Tony's been dead 3 years, but somehow, kind of surprised no one's brought that up. But usually they do.
Yeah. They only brought Andre up.
They only brought up Andre.
Yeah, but they didn't say anything about Tony this time.
Yeah, which is odd. Every time Stephanie says you're dead to me, I always think about you said that to Tony, and Tony died, or Tony got fairly injured that day.
Yeah,
Kate said
that's why I was
Kate
afraid to say anything
Stefano.
When he said it to Kate. He said it to
Kate
twice.
That
you're dead to me.
And, well, Kate said that to Stefano 3 years ago, and she married him. And so, in fact, that's always, like, for dramatic effect, but it ends up not being the case.
Right.
You get to meet to everybody.
He says that all the time. You're dead to me. Yeah.
Well, he did feel bad after Tony died, though, because then he said something, didn't he, to somebody? Like, I said he was dead to me, and then he died or something, or I don't know.
Yeah, he felt bad about it.
I remember a long time ago he said something about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you would thought EJ would have said, I just lost my brother, now I'm going to lose my sister, but he didn't. You know, they didn't make any reference to that at all.
So I thought that was a little odd. It seems like they're not talking about it. And I thought it was odd, too, they did not show the Andre, or at least show that Lexi was in a tunnel. Because if you weren't watching the show during the tunnel, so I think that was 2007, that was 5 years ago.
I was wondering if they were going to do a flashback. And they didn't do that either.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense, because they could have showed it without. They didn't want to show Teo Pengless. They could have done it without it.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even think he was in those scenes when they poured her out.
Was it just inferred that it was Andre? Did we ever see Lexi down there with Andre? I can't remember.
No, I just remember they pulled her out, and it was at Doug's place that they pulled her out.
Yeah.
Therefore, we didn't even
know where she was. That was kind of a weird thing.
She was in a car accident with Tech, and that was the last time we saw her, and no one's mentioned Tech since then. I believe that's what happened with Lexi.
I remember him. Okay, yeah, okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's how it works. But, I'm surprised they're not showing the whole tunnels thing. Just, just a little clip of it, because a lot of people didn't watch the show 5 years ago, and they don't know what's going on.
Mm-hmm.
But, I thought James was great. Anytime, I mean, I'm a softie anyway, but when James is in pain, I'm in pain.
I'm there, Nicole, take him back. Please.
Please, Nicole. Five. Please make him stop crying.
What's wrong with you? Look at those puppy dog eyes. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. He can play like the, oh, please forgive me. Yeah.
So, that kind of kills me. But, and you could tell, too, the veil was dropped between real life and show, because you could tell James is sincerely going to miss working with Renee Jones and vice versa. And you can just tell by looking at them.
When you know the actor is going to be leaving, too. Yeah,
mm-hmm.
It's a little real life always is in there, too, all the time.
That was something else. Those are good scenes. But the whole thing is bizarre, though, with, I don't know why Dave's not using the old hospital, the nurse's station.
Yes, it's the hallway.
Does
that mean we're going to get some shirtless martial arts scenes soon? Because if not, we could just get rid of Intensity Dave's Spa. Because as far as I'm concerned, unless I get to see Cameron and Brady, and let's see who else. Well, a few others thrown in. Not Daniel, but a few others thrown in. So I get to see them boxing or something, as far as I'm concerned, but that can be
EJ?
Removed. There you go. But he never goes to that, though. I mean, he's have his own private
gym
in the mansion. He's the mayor now.
He doesn't
although
need to
he's
go
never,
to
he doesn't have a mayor's office, but... He's never at the office. He's like every other elected official we have, apparently.
Mm-hmm.
film, you know. It's kind of like we never see him at the office.
Because, I tweeted someone, the last place you're going to find a mayor or any politician is in their actual office. They're not there.
That's true.
You know, or any state employee, usually those are no-show jobs. I mean, come on, people. Trust me. I know these things. But, yeah, I mean, you know, we never saw Abe in his office. We're not going to see EJ in his office. But apparently, you know, he's all this time on his hands, and he's at the mansion all the time. Or he's at the coffee house.
Chasing Billy Reed with the files.
Oh, well, speaking of the coffee house, it gets brought to mind. There was a Justin sighting. We saw Justin.
Oh, yes, yeah. Wally was on the other day.
For like a little bit. He was like advising Madison and Brittany there about the yeah. That's all we saw.
And
wow, where is he been?
Ever since Sonny was there to celebrate Will coming out, he disappeared. So let's hope they haven't, like, sent him packing, because he was there setting up tables, doing stuff. Now all of a sudden, nobody's running the place. Have you noticed? It just runs itself.
Right.
Maybe that's what the
and
whole
Adrian,
thing is.
I don't know where she's been. We saw Kayla today. We saw Kayla this week a little bit, serving coffee or working at the pub for, like, a few minutes there and putting her 2 cents in a little bit. That was it with her.
Yeah. You know what? I actually like the scenes between EJ and Billy and Friday. He was so, and this is like the old EJ. Remember how snarky he was when he first got on the show?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
EJ sharp. EJ and Billy.
On
Friday.
Oh, yeah. EJ and Billy. Yeah. Yeah, they were on for quite a while on Friday. Yeah.
Yeah.
They had a whole big long conversation.
He was zinging her left and right, and she just took it. And
is that a couple or not? Nah, I don't know.
I think she's too old for him.
I see her with Dr. Dan, though.
Yeah.
I do see her. Those two would make. I can see them together. I would probably. Yeah.
Yeah, I could see if.
I'd rather see EJ and Kate, actually, than EJ and Billy.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah, that's just it's just funny how guys go through Kate and her children, grandchildren like that. Well, I tried the grandmother, now I'll try the daughter, and now I'll try the granddaughter. You know, but it kind of cracks me up. But I thought their scenes were kind of cute, and we must have had the good script writers on Friday. Between Will being snarky with Sammy and yet EJ being snarky with Billy, it was a pretty good dialogue episode on Friday. So,
I always like Will and EJ scenes, too. Those are always good.
Yeah, we found out this week Will got employed by EJ to spy on Nicole, and Nicole was let out of the hospital. She didn't miscarry. So it was just... it was just her uterus expanding, which I've had that happen before, and that's not enough to put you in the hospital. That's not really painful enough. That's just kind of a normal pressure. But, you know, with her, though, she's probably super paranoid, though. But, I'm trying to think, what else do we do? Oh, and it was brought to my attention, the Gaze of Days wanted me to mention this week, Jay's casted a new actor to be involved with Will and Sonny. And I can't remember the guy's name. I don't know if you guys caught it or not. But there's no real spoilers on it. We don't know who he's going to be involved with, even though for Will and Sonny together. And they have great chemistry between the two of them. Ben Cliff's almost getting a boyfriend. So. Yeah, so that should be interesting. So hopefully, what's the matter?
It's be interesting, yawn.
I know. I took a nap today,
I'm trying to think what else was. I'm doing the same thing. What else is going on in the show?
Like, gosh, there was a lot of good drama, but honestly, We had headless
Barbie
dolls.
That was the good drama. Was Joe
yeah,
and James?
We had headless
James
Barbie dolls. We had Abby Bain.
We don't even have to talk about that. Oh my god.
That's, no, we really don't. I was
Wacko
about bored for most of it because I thought it was stupid.
It's just Gabby being Abby again. You know, it's the same thing. The same storyline. Why go? Oh, and come on, Melanie. You're going to stay home for. Come on, Melanie. You're not that nice. Come on.
Yeah, that's the truth. I don't know.
She can't cancel the trip because of.
I wish they would bring her back to her original. Like, I like to see characters progress and everything, but she needs to be kicking the shit out of that girl. She needs to be having, like, a smackdown with Gabby. You know, it's like.
Gabby
kind of
knows what's going on, I think.
It needs to build. I mean, it needs to build and it needs to get over with because it's so boring.
Yeah.
No offense to the actors, but it is just such a stupid storyline. And unlike the Looney Abby story, which I thought was going to be stupid and I wasn't going to like it, that actually turned out to be really good, in my opinion. But, I mean, a lot of it was just because we got to see Austin squirm, like, on a daily basis, and that was hilarious. He squirms better than anybody, I'll tell you. But, you know, that was a great story with a lot of angles. This is just, like, who cares, really, you know?
Yeah.
And so, I don't know, it's just really boring. It's just so boring. And so, you know, I'm kind of like, that was on like 2 or 3 days this week. Like, really? They're feeling, I mean, is this a precursor to what
we're
going to see
on the summer? I'm sorry, but Chad and Melody in bed together just doesn't do it for me.
They're not sexy at all.
Like,
I'm looking at the younger the couple is like, not the second. I mean, I enjoy the older couples. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Young couples.
Well, I mean, they think
we want to see young bodies in bed? No, I don't.
They always put Uncle Max and his niece Stephanie in bed together or whatever. And it's like, oh, please, I don't need to see that. I don't need to see me humping. It just really does not do anything. Well, this isn't that far removed from it, even though they're not related, thank goodness.
They're not related, Anyway.
They're not
related, there's just
but
something about
still,
them.
There's just still something that's not that appealing. I mean, again, they're sweet in real life. They're adorable, but I just don't, I don't know. I think part of it, too, is that they've really done very little. I guess they're going to start developing Chad a little bit more along the DeMiro lines, finally, because basically he sat dormant for a year, as far as I'm concerned, other than a few scenes with the DeMiras.
He needs to get his bad
DeMiro.
They've
hardly even acted like he was a DeMira, you know? I mean, they've not written anything for him. And so it's kind of like, it's almost like the writers just didn't even want to play up that part at all. And so I'm hoping that comes into play soon. It seems like I saw some spoiler about that. But this is a character, Chad, if you want to think about it. Chad is a character that actually started out with some layers. Here he had a kid out of wedlock who he didn't even know about, and, you know, here this baby ended up dying. You know, we always thought maybe he was a DeMira. And here, you know, there's the playoff with EJ and Stefano being his father and all this stuff, and Kate being his stepmother and having known his mother who was a prostitute and all this stuff. And then now nothing. For a year, it's been virtually nothing but him, you know, standing there looking cute or being a model or whatever. And I'm sorry, they're doing a disservice to the character and to the actor because I'm sure.
Same with Melanie, there's like nothing for her.
But I mean,
right now.
He had all this emotional stuff when he first came on, and then it's like now there's nothing, and it's got to be boring for him, I would think, other than kissing his girlfriend in real life. I mean, that's cool, but for him, but I'm sure, but I don't know. And the whole playing up the they're models, so they're famous thing is so fake. I'm sorry, it just is ridiculous. Nobody's buying it. I mean, so it's kind of like that whole story can just go away. So it's just a weird thing right now. I don't know what to think. I don't know. It seems like the writing is very choppy. The best word I can come up with. Inconsistent or something. I mean, I like certain things about it, but it just that story is not working for me at all. Now, the Cameron and Abby thing, I think they're cute. I'm kind of intrigued by that, but, you know.
Yeah.
One thing, we did have an announcement before I forget. And Sarah is maybe going to be calling in. She's driving home from work. She wanted to talk about you know what. So, but I did want to mention that one of our friends of the Diva of Duel, Jennifer Brown Thomas, Her book, Blissful Eyes, came out on Amazon yesterday for Kindle, and it will be coming out on some other formats, so you can read it on your iPhone, iPad, and that kind of thing, starting next week at some point. But it's great. I encourage you guys to check it out. It's called Blissful Lies, L-I-E-S, Jennifer Brown Thomas, and we're going to be featuring some stuff on the blog as well about it. But you can go to Amazon now and purchase it. Check it out. The people who have been reading it since it opened up yesterday are giving rave reviews, and it's just really exciting. This is also the novel that's based on the movie Blissful Lies that stars Leanne Hunley that's coming out. So it should be a fun thing. You can, any of you Leanne Hunley fans can imagine her being in the role of Addison and, you know, the main character. And so it's fun to see a friend of the show doing great things and such a young age. She's 25, for goodness sakes, and so she's accomplished a lot in her 25 years. So we're really excited for her, and we'll be looking for more projects from her as well, more exciting news soon. So just wanted to get that in, make sure everybody knew about that.
Yeah, and we'll try to get that on the up on the blog tomorrow, so anybody wants to download the blog.
Yeah, we'll put something out there. So we're real excited for her, and it should be a great read. So, and there's also a Blissful Lies website and other places you can. They're going to be launching a new website on Wednesday, so look for that too. So should be fun. So and I don't know if Sarah called in yet. I don't know if she's online. I can't see the board, but
Chatroom just crashed on me.
Oh no. She tweeted that she was trying to get home, but just in case she doesn't make it before we end, Magic. There was, I saw the stats for, it's the first time since 2008 that, I think it says the first time since 2008 that Aniston and Rogers hadn't been on for like the whole month of April or something like that. I don't know.
Wow.
I'm not sure if I have the stats right, but they weren't on any
episodes. Well, it seems like it. It's been a long time.
They weren't on any episodes in April. So quite a dry spell for Magic fans or for Victor and or Maggie fans. So there was there for a while, I think it was last year, John Aniston was on, he's recurring, and he was on more episodes than he had been on since, like, 1991 or something like crazy like that. So we were getting really used to seeing him, and, you know, Maggie was an integral part of the show, of course, and it's just like they've fallen off. Maybe they'll be coming back soon, but they've definitely been off the radar as far as the writers are concerned. I'm sure Tomlin will change that, though, because when they were...
Oh, yeah.
When he was in charge, I know... They had a lot of screen time, so we'll see. They kind of dropped the whole Daniel storyline, didn't they? Other than, I mean, they still acknowledge that he's Maggie's son and that Melanie is
Victor's
granddaughter.
Involvement, remember?
But they've never gone back to that. You wonder if they're going to circle back and cause some tension for Victor and Maggie. Because, I mean, Lord knows they haven't had anything storyline-wise for a long time. So, I mean, they did have the whole frozen egg thing that turned out to be Daniel, blah, blah, blah. But we don't even know who Daniel's dad is, do we? Or do we care? I don't know if we care. Maybe it's George Hamilton. That could be. Maybe it's George Hamilton.
Oh, I can see that.
You know, the tanned one. Mm-hmm. He inherited the tan from George Hamilton. That could be it.
Hamilton.
but my theory was some guy from a surfer, for a surfer dude in a tanning salon or something like that. But anyway, so maybe they're trying to forget that whole storyline because I know I would like to, but so.
Yeah, I can't see.
But I will say that Lauren Coslow, for all you Kate fans and Lauren fans, she was the eighth, had the eighth most episodes for the month. I'm not sure if it, I think it's for April. My stats might be wrong. But anyway, she was number eight. I think it was for the month of April because we had Kate Week plus two episodes last week plus we have more this week coming, which is unusual because a lot of times she doesn't even get to the top 10, which really irritates us. But it's been a wonderful month as far as that goes. And this year-to-date, she's had pretty good episode count too, which is nice because there have been times when us Kate fans have really – struggled through some dry spells. So so for those of you whose characters are having dry spells right now, we understand. But we're definitely enjoying having Kate on, and we hope that continues because it's very enjoyable. And Ian as well, he's a lot of fun. And for those of you who maybe want to follow some fun people, at Lauren Coslow, at Kilt Trip USA is Ian Buchanan. Let's see, we already mentioned Bob Hapka and Amy Hapka. Do others want to pimp? I'm trying to think.
At CanFans, is that what it is?
Oh, yeah, thank you.
Kilt Trip USA.
Yes, we have Cantini. We have Dirty Cantini hours quite frequently with Ian Buchanan.
Frequently.
And sometimes Lauren joins in and stuff. We have a lot of fun. So come join us, be dirty, because that's what a dirty Cantini involves. And or just observe, whichever. But we have a lot of fun with him. He's a good sport and a Nazi good sport. So it's fun.
This week was the last filming week for Patrick Muldoon and Christy Clark.
Oh, that's right.
Patrick's last day filming was Wednesday, and Christy's was Thursday. And I guess Christy tweeted her last script, and it appears as though her last scene is with a Roman, and she's saying something about she's leaving town. So it looks like really sure if Carrie and Oscar leaving town together. I'm not getting that impression.
Huh.
So I don't know, or at least maybe he left first, maybe she's leaving second, but it doesn't look like they're leaving together. But and there was some cute stuff. I think Patrick and was hanging out with Lauren this week, just the two of them, and then Patrick and Christy were hanging out also at Sweeney's house, and Patrick just tweeted a picture with himself, Christy, Allison, Galen, Sean Christian, Ariane Zucker, and it's like they all, bonded these last few months. And it's kind of a shame we have a nice clique of actors like that. They get along so well, and their band is breaking up, basically. But, I know. And they've been so great about it, and, so it looks like they're going to be on until maybe end of June or early July. So they wrapped up shooting.
Thinking they're 3 months ahead, aren't they? So
yeah.
Wouldn't this take them up to the Olympic break?
Yeah, I'm assuming July, yeah. So the whole thing's kind of bizarre because we were told they were filming into May, and clearly they didn't. And Matt Asher, I guess he tweeted, he's filming for two more months, and no one's heard anything from Sarah Brown, so we don't know what's going on with her. So it's kind of odd that everybody hearing off are already over. So
what was kind of odd is remember how I made that comment, how I noticed that like the week after all the Kumbaya reunions and resolutions and everybody like stories resolving and everything with those characters, all of a sudden, then they make the announcement those actors are leaving. So it's kind of like, almost like they've had this plan for 3 months, and now it's like the next 3 months are going to be them fiddling around Salem doing, or maybe they're involved in certain storylines, but, I don't know.
If it's 3 months to carry it away, I'm going to just beat my head against a wall.
Yeah.
Basically, I mean, Austin's already way on the back burner, I mean, ever since Abby got over him the next day. He's only on once or twice a week having sex with Carrie with a watch on, which Patrick will not explain to me why he's wearing a watch in bed. And as I was saying, maybe he's timing himself. But you won't confirm or deny that. But and then you have Carrie on 3 or 4 days a week, and she's just with Rafe.
Your phone's cutting out. Kind of.
Is that me?
Yeah. It's kind of rough. I can't hear it very well.
Oh. Can you hear me?
Kind of like crackling like a little bit.
Yeah, it's crackling.
Yeah, crackling.
Oh, that's weird.
Anyway,
I
was trying to follow what you were saying, and I couldn't follow what you were saying.
Oh, that Austin's been on the back burner, and I don't want to watch 3 months of Carrie Rafe. So, did you guys hear that?
Say that again. I'm sorry.
That I don't want to watch 3 months of Carrie and Rafe.
Oh, no.
No, 3 months of Carrie. Well, who does?
Especially
yeah.
after we saw the quote-unquote fantasy scene where she thought she was really in love with Austin, but she was fantasizing about Rafe.
Mm. Yeah.
It's like, no. No, no, no. That was not cool. Yeah, we don't need to see that. I do like Rafe and Nicole there, though, I have to admit. But I don't think that's going to be a very long term. What I want to know is, so let's see. So they're coming up to this big, like, so we've got the May story, which is the safe house thing that, honestly, I haven't been paying all that much attention to this build up for the spoiler. But so we got people that could be blown up, and can we get so lucky as for that to be Marlena? I don't know, but anyway, it'd be refreshing, but no, I'm kidding. No, I shouldn't say that. I don't want to be a hater, but, you know, not my favorite character. So we got this big spoiler thing coming up, this big blow-up thing, this hostage thing. And then, I guess, didn't you guys hear that there was something like right before the Olympics they're going to have a huge, it changes everything kind of story, and then they're going to make us wait and torture us for 2 weeks before... So, like, I just hope Day's View, it's good enough that Day's viewers come back after the Olympics. But I just think, I wish they weren't going to cut him out for 2 weeks. That sucks, you know, because people get out of the habit of watching, stuff like that. I just hope, I hope it's a big enough build-up, because we can't really afford to lose a bunch more people watching. Although we all know that some people aren't being counted. We know that they're not counting certain things like the internet viewing and all that. We know that more people watch than are actually being counted in the Nielsen. But still, that would really be sad if, you know, we lost more viewers just because of that. Let's hopefully gain some. That would be nice. And what's sad is if they play Days during the Olympics, we might actually catch a few people who are watching the Olympics. And,
because
you know,
that's what they did the last time, and it worked. The ratings the last time there was the Olympics were very, very good. That's when they had, that was with the lockdown episode in the hospital with Stefano and McGaff, and Tony and Anna, and John
ago.
And Marlena.
Yeah.
And they had the flashback episode.
Did they do the film noir, too?
Yeah, the noir stuff, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good. Actually, the ratings were very high then. They were, and they got a lot of praise in the press. They thought that it was pretty good. They did a great job. I think Peter wrote that stuff too. So yes, I don't know where they're doing it now. The Slip is going to be on during the day, so you know maybe it's the 12-hour Wednesday show. I have no idea.
You're cutting out again, Carrie. Sorry.
Okay. You know, I just want to talk so you guys go.
It's like, I don't know what the...
I keep
like
thinking it's my phone, but yeah.
No, it's because I can hear you.
It's mine losing the charge, you know.
Uh-oh. Oh. No, but yours is coming through, okay.
Yeah.
But you're right, though. That was a good story right before the Olympics, or during the Olympics. And that might catch people who are otherwise not watched in a long time, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know what they're thinking. Hopefully it works. So Sarah ain't called in yet? I don't know if she's home yet. She was trying to get home to call in.
I'm here.
We did talk about magic, so we got that covered just in case. I don't know. I'm trying to think what else happened this week. Any other news that we were going to... Oh, I was going to mention something, and I don't have my exact facts in front of me because, you know, I'm not really a professional, obviously. But I guess I didn't really need to say that. But I did read, put a little bit different spin on it. I mean, we've all kind of been having our way with Lisa Rinna's little commercial for Depends, essentially, you know, a hot version of Depends. And... I read something recently. There was an article about the, like, top six most embarrassing commercial celebrity endorsements or something, and that was one of them, surprisingly enough. And it said that for her doing that commercial, Kimberly Clark, donated, I think it was $250,000 to Dress for Success, the charity. So I thought, you know, that's really cool. I mean, Lisa's one of these people that will do just about anything. She's just, like, out there and willing to be, you know, zest for life. Hey, let's dive in, do it, you know. And so, I mean, I admire that on some levels. On some levels, it sometimes makes me cringe, but I think she's a good person at heart and everything. And I, when I saw that, I thought, you know, I mean, that's really a nice thing that some money, some significant money went to charity, went to a good cause. So I thought that just put a little bit different spin on it. So I just thought I'd mention that and fairness to her. So anyway, that was a little tidbit that I found this week. And, that's all I have.
Bo found me at home from the hospital.
Oh, that's
Bo.
AKA.
He wanted to know what happened in Alemania. I'm there. Oh, please,
yep.
We don't want to know. You don't want to know either.
Please,
Bo, don't make us go through that again.
Yeah, I already deleted that from the DVR.
Bo, you'd rather be in your coma than hear what happened in Alemania.
Yep.
That's going to put the rest of us in a coma.
Yeah, really.
Yep.
Maybe that was symbolic. Maybe there's a deeper meaning to that story. Speaking of which, the last episode, wasn't Friday's episode ending with a makeout session, a Bope makeout session on their couch. I guess we get to see their house again. We hadn't seen it for quite a long time, so it must be time for Carly to come back or something. We saw the Bope house, and somebody was mysteriously peering through the window watching them make out on the couch. So I don't know what's up with that. But and then, oh, and then Marlena. Did you guys talk about that? I may have missed part of that, but Marlena was some guy came up to her and had a knife to her throat. Did we already talk about that?
No, we didn't get there yet. No.
Yeah. So who knows what's going on there? Maybe that ties into this whole hostage thing, I guess. I don't know. But we shall see.
Oh, yeah, that's the reason why they go in the safe house. Oh, hey, we do have Sarah on. Okay.
All right.
My computer's so slow, it took me to... Oh, we got two callers on. Okay, I'll pull them back up. I think the other one's Angela. Let's see if we can get Sarah on. Sorry, my computer's super slow. There we go. There's Sarah.
Hey.
Hello. There she is. You made it home. Okay, let me get the other caller on. Hi, area code 770.
Hey, it's Angela.
There she is. It was you.
Hi, Angela.
Hi, ladies.
Hello. Was Sarah there? Was Sarah
yes,
there?
Yep, she's here too.
Okay. I was like, lost it for a second. I was like, where'd she go?
Yeah,
so,
what about you to talk about this week?
Hello?
What?
No magic to talk about this week?
Or this month?
Huh? No. I'm all like, come on, people.
Yeah, it's like they went poof.
It's not fair.
Mm-hmm. No. Wasn't sure if you were going to make it home in time, so I did mention that earlier. I saw a statistic where John Aniston and Susan Rogers had been on the entire month of April.
Well, haven't you seen me tweet all week, like, saying, I want magic, I'm magic.
Uh-oh. Yep. I don't blame you.
Well, I watch anyway.
What?
And Sarah, this is Angela. I guess I'm hopeful, you know, since Gary Tomlin was very, you know, positive about including Suzanne Rogers on the show.
Yeah.
I'm hoping that when their episodes start to air, that maybe they start to bring at least Suzanne, if not John Aniston, back a little bit more. Because, I mean, it really looks like some of these folks have not worked. I mean, even like Missy and Matt, I don't think have worked very much. I think they did some filming in February, and they were back in the last week or so. So
right.
I think you know, it's pretty spotty as far as what they're doing. I did hear today too at the Atlanta charitable event that you know, because Judy Evans and Wally Kurth were there. That they've actually been called back to do some work the next couple of weeks. So,
good.
I think that's a positive sign too. Is that I think, you know, that they obviously and again, I know Gary Tomlin's got a lot of detractors and so forth, and I don't always hold the same opinion, so I'm not even going to go there. But I do think that it's positive that there may be some people that we haven't seen in a while that may be coming back. Because I do think Judy Evans is a really good actress. My grandmother mm-hmm. loved her on Another World years ago, mm-hmm. and you know, and we really haven't seen them at all almost
yeah.
you know, since you know in the last you know, well at least the last year or so since the reset. So. That's a positive. I think that's a positive thing. At least I'm hopeful. I'm trying to stay hopeful. it's hard because right now, like I said, other than Stephanie, I didn't hear the first part of the show tonight. Did y'all talk a lot about the EJ and Stefano scenes this week?
Oh yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
We were saying how great James did. I mean, I always love his emotions, and he's like right on with them, and. Every time he cries, he makes me cry and makes you feel his emotions. I thought he did a great job.
He did great with that and with Lexi. I sat here
and
cried watching the thing with Lexi.
Oh,
his
tears were rolling
cheek.
Down his cheek. Yes, yes, the tear rolling down his cheek. Yeah, there. Oh my gosh. And I said the scenes with Stefano, like you could see the fear in his eyes, like he knew something was wrong. It's like he didn't want to know. Maybe he kind of, maybe he thinks something's wrong like that. It's something he doesn't want to hear. He knows it's something bad.
I think he knows.
Yeah.
This, on Friday they
or
have to take.
Sex.
Although I don't even necessarily believe that's really true. I guess I'm really a conspiracy theorist now that really this is, I'm praying that this is all really not going to have been the case, that this is all a trick
right.
of someone
yes.
trying to get
it's not
going to
be true. Yeah.
And, I will say, I love my friends on Twitter, and I've been very vocal that I really just don't think it's necessary to change EJ's parentage at all, whether it be mother or father. But
it's not going to happen.
I forgot who I was talking to, but anyway, I was talking to somebody that I chat with a good bit on Twitter, and we were talking about it, and I was, stating again that I just didn't think it was necessary. It was so sweet. I mean, I must have had, like, four people that, I tweet with occasionally, but they were so comforting. They said, oh, but Angela, it's going to be okay either way. Oh, it was so sweet. There were lots of people that were concerned about me being upset and worried about Stefano and Eva.
Do we need to have an intervention?
Actually,
that's why they're in Atlanta. It's not really for the event. They're coming to your house very soon.
Maybe
they should be there in about 15 minutes for the intervention.
So anyway, there's a lot of compassionate, empathetic people out there that I think were worried that I might go over the edge.
Do you have a one story or a two? Do we need to call in some reinforcements? Oh, Lord. Oh, I know. We're just gluttons for punishment being so bad. Let's face it. There's something seriously damaged, I think.
It's
we love being tortured at times.
It's pitiful. I started to somebody. I was listening out the story because I was trying not to sound like a hater or just a negative Nelly, which I know I probably do, and even though I try not to. But I was saying these are the stories that I like, which is the EJ and Sandy, and as much as it's sad, but I think they're doing a great job with the Lexi story and a few other things. But then I felt like I had to point out then the things that I didn't really think were good. And that list got very long. I couldn't do it in 140 characters. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, hopefully, like I said, I'm hoping that once we see some of the new work come in, that it'll be better. I still think Chris Weitzel did a pretty good job. When he was there before, I think he really salvaged a bunch of stuff that had come through from Dina. So I'm hopeful that that he's going to be a positive for the show. Something's going to be positive because I agree. Anna was talking about the very thing that I worry about the most is the 2 week dead air.
Without
the show, and I was down here on the South Carolina coast the latter part of this week, and I have Comcast cable in Atlanta, but there's Time Warner down here, and they have obviously a very poor NBC affiliate out of Charleston, South Carolina, and they did a news cut in for 3.5 hours on Friday for the. That there's a new Boeing plant, huge thing for the state of South Carolina for them to bring in development, and Boeing moved their plants here, and this is the first plane they've actually rolled out, so it was a big deal down here. And I was fine with that, and that was I didn't agree, that was local news, but it was no need to cover it for 3 hours. All the other stations carried it for 8 minutes. They rolled the plane out, and they said, wow, here's the plane, aren't we glad? And then they went on back to their programming. The NBC affiliate cut everything off and did nothing but just stand out there in an empty parking lot for 3.5 hours, chatting among themselves. And, of course, Days of Our Lives did not even air. And that meant that a good portion of South Carolina, which is a small population in the state, but as far as some, compared to other markets, but frankly that meant that all of the low country and coastal South Carolina, which is a good portion of the population down here, there was no Days of Our Lives, there was no ratings, there was no, that all that was lost to the show. And I guess the ad revenue and everything else will have to be reimbursed to the people whoever had bought ads for Days that day. And it was, if it had been a worthwhile story, I'm all for it. I'm a big news person, but this, there was no news. It was just these fools out there talking for 3.5 hours about nothing, waiting for this plane to roll out. And it was sad. Sure. So I felt bad for Days of Our Lives because, again, they need every rating they can grab.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
I did post a ring on the blog today.
What are we going to talk about on Twitter for 2 weeks? They better give us a whole lot to speculate. There's going to be a lot of dead air for most of our feeds.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, not from my feed. Oh, I have something to watch. Oh, that's true. Because you know what comes on at the same time as Days for me?
What?
General Hospital.
Oh, really?
Is it really? Yes, and I'm all like, I really need a DVR or something because when SoapNet goes off from DirecTV, I'm going to be all like, what am I going to do?
That's terrible. I didn't know they were competing in any markets. That's weird, huh?
Yeah, and anyway, it is in Pittsburgh, too. It's 3 o'clock at General Hospital and Days.
Wow.
So people are asking you, why are you tweeting at 3 o'clock? It's like, well, that's when the show's on here.
Mm.
You know,
I get it at 2 here.
Yeah, it's
always been on at one. In Atlanta, the good thing is that it used to be that Young and the Restless and Bold and the Beautiful ran against Days. And Meredith, the people that own the Ladies Home Journal, own the CBS affiliate in Atlanta, and they have their own, Ladies Home Journal site. Talk show, better, or something like that, so they run that at 1. So they've actually moved Young and the Restless to 3, and it really helped the ratings for Days of Our Lives in Atlanta a lot when they did that. The one good thing is I was thinking, gosh, almost at this point everybody is almost on at a different time now. If it was at least the recommended feed times anyway, then none of the shows would have to actually compete against each other. At least, they would all be on different times. But that's a shame. With GH, I don't understand how much the affiliates have a say in when they take certain shows and what kind of advantage there really is to them actually switching them around. I don't know how that works. And then I'll ask Tina Moore on Twitter. She knows. She works for one of the affiliates up in North Carolina.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Has anybody, you mentioned the Days event, has anybody, I haven't really been paying attention on Twitter today too much about it, but anything, any revelations coming out of it, or everybody's having a good time, or?
I think everyone's having a good time, and I'm sad because I had planned to go, but I couldn't go, couldn't leave today to go. I was planning to go to the cocktail party, but I think that from what I can tell, James Scott had a close friend pass away this week, and so he had to cancel, so he's not there. But everyone else was there. Again, it was pretty much the biggest lineup I've seen as far as the male leads on the show ever. I mean, they had everybody else there, and including Matt Ashford, and that's the other thing that breaks my heart, because I've actually met everyone else, and I would love to see Eric Martzoff again. I never tire of meeting him because he's so nice and personable, and they're all very nice and personable, but especially him. But I really had never met Matt, and so I had really wanted I had wanted to meet him. But he really jumped in there. I know that they posted a tout or something, where actually he had taken over doing part of the auction. And he was really funny, so that was cute. And I know several people had tweeted some things that Galen had said, but then I didn't really know if they were serious or they were joking, because it would be like they would say something and then they would say, "Well,
starfish or anything."
No, nothing to do with any of that. I draw a line. I'm not even going to discuss that. But anyway,
I think she's blushing.
Why not? It's a shame that I even know what that is. Anyway, let's move on.
I managed to both disgust and embarrass Angela in the same sentence. That's awesome.
Oh, James is
starfish.
Okay, no.
I'm sorry, Angela.
Anyway, I think he was giving some hints about, he's going to get back with the ISA and FBI or whatever it's going to be, which I think would probably make sense if you're going to have Rafe. That's, what else is he going to do? He's not, president of Mad World Cosmetics. But I don't know. I guess that, but it was.
Oh, he could do that too. He can do everything.
Yeah.
Rafe can do anything.
It is amazing. So that was good. And I haven't heard too much. I'm sure we'll hear more in the next couple of days. But it sounded like they had a good turnout, and everybody was having a really good time.
Fan events are really fun, whether they be the charity events or Day of Days or whatever.
Yeah. Erica, I think her last name is Croce, Croce. She's on Twitter, and she's just a fine person. She actually works for one of the television affiliates, I think in Texas, but she's really involved in organizing several of, heading up organizing several of these events, and she seems to be very professional at being able to get all this stuff together and done and happen well, and so I know she's been in Atlanta for a couple of days doing that, so I think everything has gone pretty darn well, so good for them. This was raising money for Alzheimer's Association, which I thought was a good cause, too.
Mm-hmm.
Was there any word from Patsy? Was Patsy there?
No, she canceled. Yeah, she canceled. She lives in North Carolina. She moved back to North Carolina.
Right.
And so I had thought that would have been good. And I think originally she was listed when they first had announced that Charles Shaughnessy was going to come back, which I think starts like May the 3rd. So we're getting close to when Shane will be back on the show for some guest appearances. And so I don't know quite what happened, but then it's been a couple of weeks ago that they said that she had canceled, or that somehow it had been canceled and that Judy was going to come instead. And it is a positive thing. Like I said, I think that that Judy and Wally are there, and they're saying that they're actually they're taping again, which is a positive. I guess it's positive because, like I said, they haven't just like we were talking about with Suzanne Rogers. I love the character of Maggie, and I just think she's an important person on the show. She doesn't have to be on every episode, but I think that I just think that's you know, she's a key part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but I guess I know Sarah can speak a lot better to that than I can even. But I just,
you know what happened is she went from having like a 3-bedroom house that she shared with Mickey, in which every single person in town went and stayed with her, to moving
mm-hmm.
into Victor, where she had like 100 rooms and nobody wanted
mm-hmm.
to stay with them.
Yeah.
Like, so she
true.
Never gets any. She may get some action, but it's not the kind of action she used to get. Which is
yeah.
better action, actually. She's getting better action now, hopefully, with Victor, but she's no longer Maggie, the owner of the flop house and home for wayward, you know, children. So.
Well, and she had the restaurant, too, and that used to be open all
yeah,
the time.
Yeah,
Chez
Rouge
and, you know,
is gone. Chez Rouge hasn't been there for a while. Well, what
they're using a lot of the chairs for different... They shipped some of the
and
chairs
the glasses.
Over to Alamania, actually.
Yeah, I noticed that. They were using the glasses in Alamania. I noticed that. I was
but,
like, wow.
I'm just praying that Alamania is almost over because, like I said, I'm excited about Charles Shaughnessy coming because I just love him. And, he's going to be on, I guess they said, it's like 12 days or so. So most of Sweets month he'll be on. And I just pray that they're able to salvage something of this because, you know, it's just I don't want to hear the name Anastasia anymore. I don't want to
mm-hmm.
think about the gold
mm-hmm.
coin and the code because, you know, I mean, it's just
like that Hennessy lady said in one of her you know, whatever her column is. She said something like, you know, if you're going to go revisit old storylines, which is kind of okay sometimes, you know, pick ones that people liked the first time around. You know?
Yeah,
so,
yeah, pick,
you know,
pick a good
this,
one, yeah.
You've got 47 years of history to choose from.
I know.
Don't use a blindfold and a dart to pick your stories from the past. Try to pick both of them in a way that actually makes sense. You know, I mean, you know, I understand why they did some of it, but the execution of it was, oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, Jamie Giddens on Daytime Confidential, who I think is hysterical, and
yeah,
you know, I don't miss their podcast because he's always a hoot. But he was saying his comment was something to the effect of that at least even though the budget will be tight and you know Gary's not as big on production value as many are, but and should be. But he said, I do think that he'll at least know not to go and embark on an Alamania story without any budget because you can't do it because you put them all in one in the blue room or whatever. And there you go for all the duration. Nobody wants to see them.
The best part of Alamania was when John had to roll under the bed. That was cool. I watched that a few times. That was the only part I enjoyed, though.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know if it was somebody who was directing that week. It wasn't Allison Sweeney, but it was, I don't know who, but it was, there was like a series of days where, like, they had the horrible story where Bo and Roman get ambushed, and, you know, which was just horrendous.
Stupid.
It was horrendously written, it was horrendously directed, it was, I have complete respect for the actors, they usually do a fine job, but even Mary Beth Evans and everybody that was involved in that, it was awful, and I felt like they were screaming. I mean, I kept cutting the TV down during the scenes, and then the very next day, they had scenes in Alamania with John and Hope, and I forgot now what the whole issue was, if this is when she found out that Bo was in the hospital or quite what it was. But it was almost like they were screaming again. And I'm thinking, who is directing this thing? Why are they, you know, are they thinking because it's so boring, it's probably just me, but I just felt like, you know, because it was so boring, were they just trying to make them kind of amp it up like it was just a real horror? Because I kept cutting the TV down. I kept seeing just let it go. But we'll see. I think hopefully it's got to be over soon. I just, as I said, my comforters are all saying that things will be okay with Stefano, so I'm hoping that that's true. But I do think this is kind of, it's, it could be a good story, but I pray that it will be. But I just, you know, the demurrers are important, and they need to stay on the show, and I don't know. We'll see what's going to happen. It'll be interesting. Did someone tell me last week or week before that it was published somewhere in the spoilers that Ian's cane, had the phoenix on it.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's curious to me, just kind of see.
Yeah.
How that's going to fit or not fit. I'm also not sure about the connection with Lucas and Ian. I guess I'm just too much of a traditionalist. It's just if they can't figure stuff out time-wise, it just really bugs me. And I know nothing works out time-wise on that
right.
show. But
DJ would only be 14 or
somebody had I had on Twitter sometime late today. I just glanced at it while I was cooking dinner, and somebody got on there and was saying something about that. Really, the whole that EJ, besides an EJ hater, that EJ was really responsible for Lexi's time in the tunnel, and I was just laughing, thinking that was 15 years ago, wasn't it? So EJ wasn't even born when that happened. I don't think he can be responsible for it. At least they had Stefano said it was Andre the other day. I thought that was also that was another good mention, that at least Tony or Andre were mentioned.
That Tony wasn't mentioned.
That was weird.
Yeah, he's saying, oh, I just lost my brother, now I'm going to be losing my sister. And, like, even Stefano didn't say, like, I'm going to lose my daughter, where he just lost his son, too, which makes it even more devastating.
Well, he's lost several children. He lost Benji.
Yeah.
I mean, he's lost
almost all his
children
are dead, except EJ, actually, other than, like, Peter and, Kristen, I guess.
Yeah. And Peter's still
alive. Megan and Benji. Renee, Tony.
Yeah. I want to
say. No. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I think the Damaras are very important to the story. You know, I may be all Maggie, Victor, but if I was just a Maggie and Victor fan, I wouldn't be watching right now. I mean, because there are a lot of people that are just their fans, and they say they're not going to watch anymore because they haven't seen them. But I'm still there watching because I think that the other characters have value into the story. And I've always thought the Damaras were interesting to watch.
Aww.
Yeah. Well, very good. I'm glad you said that, Sarah, because, you should watch just because, your character's not on. If you want the show to succeed, everybody should keep watching, whether their favorites are on. Because they come and go in cycles, I think. You're going to see your character a lot for a while, and then you're going to have a dry – and then it's going to be somebody else's favorite character will be on for a while. So, yeah.
I mean,
that's a good point.
The same happened with Kate and Stefano all that time. You didn't see them, and then you saw them, here and there, and then you didn't see them again.
Right, and that's why I there's many reasons why I like Kian, but that's one of the reasons, too, is that it's like they weren't writing for State for the last several months. They've hardly done anything. And so it's like you want your favorite characters to have a story, and so people get all bent out of shape. Oh, the world's going to come to an end because they're broken up. Like, it's a soap opera, come on.
Yeah,
my
favorite
ride.
Character.
Enjoy the ride, and Ian's a really good ride.
favorite character hasn't been on for the last 3 years, and I've still been watching.
Exactly.
The first 3 years. I mean, I just never stopped watching.
There's something else I want to add.
If the show goes off the air, nobody's going to see anybody.
Right.
Exactly. Or there's no chance for him to ever come back, if you want them to come back, if the show's on the air. But now, there's still a chance.
That's what I want to say. I mean, because I like Days very much, but it's not my favorite soap opera of all time. My favorite soap opera is no longer on the air.
Mm-hmm.
So I know what it's like to lose my favorite show, and it's not a very happy feeling.
Yeah.
Oh. Exactly.
I'll be devastated if Days. I grew up with that show.
Yeah.
I don't know what I'll do.
We'd all have to take, but have to do an intervention in each of our
withdraw.
Camps.
Yes.
Not just Angela.
And just met so many wonderful people and made so many good friends mm-hmm. through because
yeah.
of AIDS. Oh, my goodness. Yeah. So.
And they have been, you know, and, yeah, I'm a huge Sherry Anderson fan, still think she was the best head writer
oh,
they've ever
yes.
had. And there are lots of folks on the show that like her, too. And I, you know,
huh.
but I was reading something the other day where they were saying, you know, no matter what era, we can say that the 80s was the golden era
mm-hmm.
of the show. But, you know, even then there were stories that people didn't
oh,
really
sure.
like. You know,
oh,
so
yeah.
it's just, you know, so it's not, you know, like I said, I mean, even though I may, you know, really not want to see the Alamania story or whatever, and I may skip a few pieces of it if I just can't deal with it that day. But, you know, but still, I mean, you know, no, it's never going to be all perfect. I mean,
think of, like, let's think back to some, like, Pete. Pete and Melissa were kind of cute. I mean, like, I don't know. There's just, like, some stories that I think back on and I think, I don't know what I thought about them at the time, but they make me cringe now, you know? It's like, yeah.
Oh, I tell you one that I hated is when they did, I guess it was when Patrick Muldoon was still on there as Austin. I can't remember, but, you know, they had the TV show, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah.
I Jennifer
don't know if he
and
was
Austin,
in
they
the
had the
house.
TV
show. Yeah.
Yeah, that was not one of my favorites for sure, and again, it just you know because it was almost too silly, but
mm-hmm.
I don't know. Like I said, there's all you know. It's never going to be perfect. Like I've watched General Hospital for a long time on and off. I've never watched it. People in my family generations watched watched Jasper live. I was the only person really in my family that watched General Hospital, and I started watching it during the Luke and Laura stuff, and then kind of lost track of it during the 90s, and haven't watched it on and off. And you know, I think it's great right now. You know, I think it's probably the best written show that we've got right now. And but it was you know it was horrible a couple of months ago. You know, it had gotten after they fired Bob Duza and they brought in some less experienced people. You know, it really you know it was awful. And it's doing a lot better now. Days is still a little bit ahead of them in the ratings. That's the thing that concerns me though is that you know as these shows have gone off, how big of an attrition has there been with people that have just stopped watching all soaps? Because if you look at the total number of viewers, you would have hoped that people that were watching Long Life to Live. And All My Children would have at least gravitated to one of the other shows, or Guiding Light, or As the World Turned.
It doesn't look at the ratings from this year to last year. It looks like All My Children's fans did not go to Young and Restless, Bold and Beautiful, or Days. I don't see it at all. If that were the case, the ratings would be up from last year, and that's not what's going on.
Yeah. Other than the issue of Hulu and what's on the internet, and again, it baffles me beyond my understanding why they can't seem to come up with a way to count the other venues of them showing the programs in a couple of years. The internet and the television is probably going to be the same thing, so they're going to have to come up with some way eventually. But so that, I mean, that's part of it. But it does, it concerns me. I really would like them to bring back, they also mentioned the character of Eric this week, which they haven't mentioned him in a while. And I think I would, you know, for a long time I really wanted Greg Vaughn to come back as Eric for years. I mean, back when I was writing stuff, I think I wrote something in 2010 maybe about that. And, you know, that just never came to fruition. But now I keep thinking Mark Lawson from One Life to Live would be really good as Eric. And, you know, I mean, he's the right demographic. He's a good demographic for the show. Handsome guy, good actor. And that would be someone to bring back. They've had, you know, it seems like they've had several casting calls for new folks.
Yeah, for younger characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, but I hope that at least, you know, there's no way to really tell in those casting calls. I hope not every single person that's on the show has to be a Brady or a Horton.
Right.
As a matter of fact, you get into a whole bunch of incest issues, no matter what you're going to do when they do that. But you know, I just think that, yeah, it would be nice, especially with losing Carrie and Austin and,
several hope. I still have hope for Jack and Jennifer. I'm not giving up yet on that. But yeah, I just kind of think that it would be, you know, would be nice to bring back a character. And just like I would love for them to bring back Jason Cook and can't think of her names. Yeah, Kirsten Storms, that the original Shell. And I was on Twitter this week with Love TLC, Nikita, and I had met her when I went to L.A. out in 2010. I went to the Frances Reed Memorial Brunch that they had. It was just so nice. And I met her then, and Jason Cook was there, and he actually shared and talked about Frances Reed and what she had meant to him when he first started on the show, you know, back in 1998 or 1999. Mm-hmm. And Nikita was talking about the Brady event that they've got scheduled, I guess, for the Days weekend in June. And mm-hmm. I had never tweeted with her before. I had talked to her. She doesn't remember me from Adam's House Cat, I'm sure. But anyway, we were just talking. But she was saying that there was a possibility that Jason may come to that event.
Wow.
And she also said that there were other surprises as well. Of folks that may be actually coming. So, it made me think something positive, because I loved Belle and Sean, the original version. Loved them. And I know it's difficult now because they've grown up as characters. But, you know, that's kind of what's missing in a way, is that, the kids that they did bring up as a legacy group are almost all gone off the show now.
Yeah.
And so... I think that could be good to bring, you know, because it would just still be a connection there. It just wouldn't necessarily be all the same people. I don't know. Like I said, it's hard to say what the solution is to the show. I mean, obviously they've tried a bunch of things and a lot has not worked. But I just hope that they do something good before the Olympics so that people don't just tune out altogether.
Well, on that note, it's 11:30, ladies, so time for us to call it a night. Anybody have any thoughts?
No, I think so. Nice, lively discussion.
Yeah.
Even given the fact that there
in.
Was a headless Barbie doll this week.
That was definitely the highlight of the week. Yes.
Oh. Well, thanks, everybody. That was fun.
Okay. Yeah, thanks, Angela, for calling in and giving us some scoop.
We
really appreciate
Sarah.
That.
Yeah.
It's good to talk to all y'all. Have a good weekend.
Yeah, great to talk to you. Stay off that ledge.
Thanks for calling in, Sarah, and hopefully we'll have some magic ball to talk about next week.
Yes. Magic ball. Balls, balls, balls. Kate, balls. EJ, the mirror ball.
And here's one for Jen. McMag.
What was that?
Jen made up McMag, you know, for Ian and Maggie. I'm all like, okay.
Okay, ladies. We'll see everybody next week. Have a good
all
one.
All right. Bye, guys.
Night.
Bye. Bye. Bye.